It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Well, the holiday season is upon us, and while many of us take for granted that Santa Claus and Christmas trees are traditional symbols of the season, have you ever wondered where they come from? What exactly is a sugar plum? And how do you go awassailing? If you've always wondered if people decades or even centuries ago celebrated Christmas the way many of us do now, you'll find the answers at Old World Wisconsin's Spirit of Christmas Past event this weekend. Curator of interpretation Jennifer Van Haften says the Living History Museum is the perfect place to explore this holiday history because it focuses on the immigrant experience of the 19th century. She tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce the 1800s was when many of these traditions became popular in America.
If people have a chance to come out and visit us, they'll actually find a lot of things that are very familiar to them, even up to the commercialization of Christmas as well. It's kind of fun because in our general store, some of the research that we have done has led us to newspaper advertisements in the 1870s. And these advertisements reference Santa, reference the fact that lots of goods are in for Christmas. Come and get your toys and all your special needs for Christmas. There are oranges, there are oysters, all sorts of things that general stores across the state of Wisconsin, probably the whole United States, carried. So I think that's the most interesting is the fact that we always complain about how heavy commercialism is, and that was still a big complaint even back in the 1870s.
Did the way that Americans celebrated the Christmas season change from the beginning of the 19th century to the 1870s and beyond?
The interesting thing is because that we are a nation of immigrants, we've taken different traditions from different ethnic groups. And mostly what you see is things that hang on to the present day that show you what ethnic group you are in has to do with the foods that you eat. But the thing that kind of overtook whole of American society's Christmas culture with the Christmas tree and with Santa are a few different combinations. The Christmas tree, as we all know, is part of the German tradition and it's much older than the United States. And it was brought over by German immigrants who came in the early 1600s and 1700s to the United States, and also German immigrants that came in during the 19th century. The Christmas tree really kind of took hold for Europe and America across all countries, not just Germany. It was when Queen Victoria set up a Christmas tree kind of to honor her husband's German Christmas traditions because Prince Albert was from German areas. And she was a very influential person for the 19th century. It spread not just through Europe, but also through the United States. England's influence was very big for that.
What about that other popular symbol of Christmas time, Santa Claus? How did he change in the 19th century?
Santa Claus is a little bit harder to figure out exactly where he came from, but he got a boost with Clement Moore's poem in the early 1800s, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and we all know that one very well. That kind of gave us the idea that he was a jolly kind of round, plump guy. Before then, Santa kind of wavered. He was St. Nicholas. He was Father Christmas. He was Yulepuki, if you want to call him that, from Finn. There was all sorts of different names for him. He was actually sort of a more thin, kind of mean-looking man before you had the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas image. And then for the United States, Thomas Nast was a political cartoonist in the 1860s, and he drew this jolly old elf with the red suit and the fur on the hat and the big fluffy mittens and a short, chubby guy carrying a pack over his back or visiting with kids or anything like that. And his images were passed around through the late 19th century. And then the way we think of Santa today is really because of Coca-Cola in the early 20th century, and they started illustrating him that way. But we do have one of our staff people portrays the Thomas Nast Santa with some 19th century toys in his pack, and he walks around our village, and he's got big mittens and a very cozy, warm, furry Santa suit that he wears, which is not bright red, not the Coca-Cola Santa red, but a much more burgundy sort of look to him.
What are some of the other holiday traditions that we either have today or we sing about today that really have their roots in the 19th century?
Well, so many things, you know, stretch back even into the late 1700s. Stockings are much earlier than Christmas trees, and they came over with the English and the Welsh people, British Isles people, actually. And that was carried down into the groups that we call the Yankee groups, which are the ones that are from Vermont, New Hampshire, and upper New York State. Those Yankees, a lot of them did move over to Wisconsin in the 1840s, and obviously a lot of them moved west as we expanded west. So they brought all their traditions with them, and strong for them was the stocking tradition. Not necessarily hung over the fireplace, although that's, you know, one of the places that we always think of. But if there wasn't a fireplace, kids would hang their stockings at the end of their bed, and then they'd find things in them. And almost always you hear stories that they would find that orange in there. They might find little candies in there. They might find a pair of mittens that one of their family members knit for them. So a much smaller sort of gift-giving tradition passed out from the New England states and moved across the United States.
What about some of the foods that we, you know, sing about today? I mean, I'm thinking about sugar plums. I don't know what a sugar plum is, or even what exactly does it mean to go a-wassailing?
Well, some of that stuff that we sing, actually, those are Christmas traditions that are like from the 1500s and the 1600s in England. And wassailing, what that tradition was in England was that you would go out with a group of friends and you would go sing at somebody's home. And after you sang, then they were supposed to give you a beverage. Wassail itself was probably, when we say cider today, we think of the soft cider, which is basically more or less an apple juice. But when they were talking about cider, they're talking about hard cider. So it'd be alcoholic cider, but it would be spiced up much like we drink spiced wine, spiced red wines, that kind of thing. You just take your apple cider and you would spice that up. And that was generally the punch of the drink that they were looking for, although they could get other beverages. There was beer passed around. So wassailing is basically going from house to house, caroling, and then somebody was supposed to give you something after you have caroled. So a little bit of excessive partying, I suppose, in the holiday time. Sugar plums is another thing that actually came out of the late 1500s and 1600s, and I really think of like Henry VIII or Queen Elizabeth when you think about it. It's very Elizabethan. Sugar plums are usually some kind of nut or even an herb or herb seeds. I'm thinking of fennel that you would cover in a hard candy shell. So we think of hard candy shells being on M&Ms. But what they were talking about for sugar plums was anything that had any kind of hard candy shell. So people may be familiar with Jordan almonds. That was one of the sugar plums that they had in the 1500s and 1600s. So sugar plums, that name kind of stuck for anything that was a candy or candied sort of item like that.
Are there any holiday traditions that were celebrated in the 19th century that kind of have been lost to history?
One of the neat ones that I really like that we just don't do, I haven't seen anywhere, is the community Christmas tree that we do. And we do a display of that at Old World, Wisconsin. Before everybody had a tree in their home, it was kind of maybe a luxury for a lot of people. Places like churches and community halls and places where the community would gather would, you know, your community might purchase a tree to put up in your local churches, and you might go to your local churches, or there might be a dance hall where some civic group has purchased a tree and put that up. And then they invite the public or their church members or whomever to bring in their gifts for their family, and they use the gifts to decorate the tree. And then you go to your church service or you go to your holiday celebration at the community hall that it might be held at. You know, and you have, you know, either the service or you have dancing or whatever, and by the end of the night, then everybody is sitting and waiting in anticipation to have their name called off of one of those gifts and have it handed down to them.
We sing about and we go on horse-drawn sleigh rides today. We think of them being all cozy and wintry, but I would imagine that back in the 19th century, they actually served a much more practical purpose. How did they get associated with Christmas?
Well, actually, sleighing, you know, it does get you from point A to point B when the roads are covered with ice and snow. However, it was also a great leisure time activity. And it was actually one of those things that was great for courting your favorite lady or gentleman. If you get a sleigh that is only built for two, well, then you can't bring a chaperone with you when you do that. And so actually sleighing is often mentioned also in those newspaper accounts that I had talked about. There would be a mention of sleighing was excellent here this past Thursday or something like that. And we saw many folks out enjoying the brisk weather and sunshine or something like that. It was a leisure activity for the weekends, and you would hop in, and it would be cozy. Usually had, you know, very heavy robes. Sometimes you hear buffalo robes. You had foot warmers that you would fill with hot coals, or you would put. Bricks that had been heated or something like that, and those would set under your feet, and you put your feet on top of that. You might also put hot rocks in your pockets to keep your fingers warm. So sleighing, when they talk about it at Christmas time, you actually really see it noted in the newspapers at Christmas time.
Is it fair to say that kind of the Americanization of Christmas as an American holiday kind of came into its own in the 19th century?
I would say so. I would say that it continued to develop across the whole 19th century, and by the end of the 19th century, I think people would really recognize the Christmas celebrations as being very similar to what they were doing nowadays. By the end of the 19th century, more people were able to afford the trees in their houses. A lot of people started doing floor-length trees rather than trees that only sat on the tabletops. Which was more popular throughout the earlier part of the 19th century. And, you know, the popcorn strings that we think of and ornaments that have glittery things all over them and all the round glass balls and things like that, those really came into their own. I think the other thing that people would recognize is that the foods that people served for their Christmas dinners or Christmas Eve celebrations or however they handled that still carried over from whatever particular ethnic group that they had. Polish people have specific ethnic traditions that they do on Christmas Eve and then that they do on Christmas Day. And those still carry over even now into the 21st century. And, you know, if people kind of dig into, you know, well, what's that special bread that Grandma makes, they may figure out that that's one particular ethnic group that, you know, Grandma's brand came off of.
Well, Jennifer Van Haften, thank you so much for telling us about the origins of some of these traditions.
Well, I hope people enjoyed that, so thank you for having me.
Jennifer Van Haften is curator of interpretation at Old World Wisconsin. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can learn more about old-fashioned holiday traditions at Old World Wisconsin's Spirit of Christmas Past event this Saturday and Sunday, and again on December 14th and 15th from noon to 4. You'll find more information about the event, Old World's Breakfast with Father Christmas, and Holiday Dinner Theater, all from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.